come back from heaven, proving again that it's not just a real move, a tick, and you're in heaven. It's a journey. It's a way up there where God's building his new heaven. Way out into eternity. Way up there. But all of us, one of these days, are going to take this journey. When our soul leaves our body, it travels. Leaves the body and goes back to God, where the soul came from. For God breathed into the nostrils of man, and man became a living soul. In 1939, I was at the Temple of Religion, New York's World Fair, speaking in behalf of all the Protestants. And my choir there was a wonderful choir of black people. They came to back me up with a beautiful singing and a beautiful choir that they could sing so beautiful. Many of those men and women are gone on to be with Jesus now, my friends. But I was given the message to preach God's place in man's life. Present there was a Jewish rabbi, a Catholic priest, and a Fosdick was the representative, a young man, of the Protestants. But I'm not a Protestant. I protest nobody. If you love somebody, how can you protest what they're doing? Because coming a time when God's children will walk together. But I thought it was something to be able, for my voice in what was called the twilight hour there, to go into every nation of the world. Right after the Queen of England had made her speech on that day, at Christmas time, I followed her with a message to the world, God's place in man's life. There's been a lot of changes since that time in religion, all kinds of changes, changes in governments, changes in ideologies and philosophies, changes in governments. And now we're in a predicament with all the terrorism and all the things that are going on in the world. But the only answer is Jesus, the Lamb of God that came to this earth to pay the price on Calvary for the sins of men. But now we're going to talk about heaven, all of this long, long way away. Heaven has a communication system, and the communication system to heaven is by the way of prayer. You pray to heaven, to God, to Jesus, through the Holy Ghost, and you get an answer. That is what is so wonderful about prayer. Many times, people go into their closet and they pray, and they get an answer back. They have a need, and God supplies that need through a real, genuine, visible answer. Comes back into their life, and that's what prayer does. But now just think of heaven, how large it is, and how big it is. 80 times larger than this great planet where God is prepared and building it for eternal life. Upon this earth, where we think of the condition it was in before God took a hand in it, it was void and without form. And God put this all in place. Now you say, well, how else could it ever have happened? Could it have been done through evolution? No. Could it have been done through proceeding changes? No. It was done by the hand of God. It was impossible for a human to develop into the shape or condition a man's in, with a brain, able to think, do technology, subtract, add, algebra, geometry, mathematics, and all these things that a human brain can do. impossible for us to come from a monkey and done such things. Impossible. Because it would not have developed that way. No way would it ever have developed in the condition and the intelligence that man has today without a guiding force behind it and a guiding hand, and that is God, the supreme God. Now, God is the builder. He's the supplier of all things. He supplies the rain. He supplies all the necessities for this planet to survive. In just a second, in a split second, if this planet went out of its orbit, it would be gone, and that we'd all be in oblivion in a second. And it could happen. That's right. But it keeps on going around and around and around and turning around. That in itself is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing of God. And it keeps on going around and around and around. And just think how fast the Earth is going. The sun stays stationary, lodged there out in outer space and not moving. The sun is a tremendous fire that keeps this planet warm, that causes the temperatures to happen. The cold, the heat, the humidity, and all this is done by the action of God. All the action of God's hand. And it's so wonderful when you think of the stars. I've been on the Arabian desert, staying there all night, and watching through the tremendous telescopes there that they have, looking into the stars and studying a certain amount of astrology. But, friends, it, without a question, my trip to heaven solved the whole problem. God. Just one word, God. God is building this great new planet. And Jesus is the engineer inside, fixing the inside all up beautiful. Now, this planet heaven has an outside to it, rivers, beautiful mountains, but it doesn't have a sun. No sun. But the outside is kept warm by the fire of God. It's in its own place, stationary there. God can move it if he wants to. And inside is heaven. And heaven is surrounded by clouds, fire, and also with many of the voices of God's angels, which are souls on the outside. Now we're going to talk about heaven, take you right inside of heaven. These other planets are occupied on the outside, occupied with angels or whatever beings, all out in space and eternity. There's other planets are occupied with beings, angel beings, but this planet fell. But now let's go back to the heavenly planet. The heavenly planet is 80 times larger than the Earth, making a tremendous planet. Imagine a planet 80 times larger than the Earth and occupied by spirits, occupied by beings looking just like us. The outside has the most beautiful rivers and mountains. What causes the rivers to flow? Well, the outside of the mountain is clouds all around it. So there you get the moisture coming from all through outer space, moisture, clouds. These clouds bring down rain on the planet heaven. And then God's spirit and God's power and God's fire brings warmth. And the growth on the outside of heaven is beautiful. The most gorgeous flowers, no winters. All a certain amount of temperature that stays beautiful all the time. And there are rivers, lakes, and the beauty of outside of heaven is much better than any other planet in space, in the whole space area. I'm telling you about heaven. Now, inside of heaven, is not just like the other planets. Inside of this great heaven is the city of God. Now try to imagine in your mind, if you can, let's say looking from New York to San Francisco. That is a tremendous distance, isn't it? That's traveling over just a part of this planet. Now just think of a planet 80 times larger than the Earth and get a starting point how far it is to travel on the outside of God's great heaven. This is the way it's fixed. How do you know? I saw it. I was there in the spirit. I was there with my soul, and I saw the whole heaven. Then as we journeyed into the inner, outer perimeter of heaven, which would like it would be around this earth, with as it was a sun shining, but no sun, just the light of God on the outside, keeping it beautiful, like a sunshine all the time, and no night. It clearly teaches us in Revelation, no night there, no night. 24 earthly days an hour, every bit shining sunshine. And you do not get tired in heaven. It's not necessary to sleep, because there's no sleeping in heaven. So it will not be necessary after it's finished. God rests on the seventh day. Yes, he does. But after that's all done and all over, it will be continuous, continuous joy, unspeakable and full of the glory of God. Now, we went inside the gates of heaven. And as we entered, the three of us, my angel, the angel of the Lord with his flaming sword, and myself in the middle. As we passed through the crowds and the fire, now there's fire around God's heaven, fire. There's clouds and there's fire. And this fire is all around, and you cannot penetrate that fire unless you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. That will let you through that fire. But it's different than this earth. Altogether different this planet is. Now, you can go on the outside and travel around the outside. Of course you'll be able to. But what's on the inside? Now, inside of the earth is lava, is all kinds of fire, molten rock and everything just boiling. Just so we're living. Do you know what we're doing? We're living on a bed of fire right here where you're sitting right now. Underneath us, so deep underneath us is a boiling fire. Molten rock, just fire in there. When you think of the volcano spewing out that hot lava that turns into rock when it comes upon this earth, what a boiling furnace inside of this planet is. But we're right on a fire bed. We're living right on fire. That's right, inside. Hot. Real hot inside. It's a wonder it doesn't burn up, but it doesn't. God's hand stops it from doing that, and it keeps right on rolling along. Just like the old song, Old Man River, just keeps right on rolling along, and this planet just keeps right on rolling around and around and around. That's a miraculous reality in itself. But heaven's different. Heaven is a stationary place. Doesn't roll around anywhere. It's like the sun, stationary in the place where God has it. So it's not necessary to have night or day. And the stars, you can't see them because they're covered. That's the angels around. But when the rapture takes place, all those clouds are going to disappear, and just the fire, and you'll be able to see, be able to hear and see the millions of angels singing all around us in heaven. What a great, spectacular sight that's going to be. Now, inside of heaven, here are the gates open. First, the outer gates. And those gates took us in to the outer perimeter where there was literally millions of souls dwelling and waiting for the time to enter in before God. They were learning. They were learning to serve God, learning to worship him, because everyone inside worships the great God Jehovah. Now we're inside of heaven. We've gone through the first set of gates, and the second set of gates opened up, and three of us were inside. Inside of this great big planet heaven, 80 times larger than the earth. Now inside, not just like the earth, inside beautiful. God's got the inside of heaven inhabited by himself, all of his angels, the prophets, the major and minor prophets, and all of those people of the ages inside that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Now, Jesus went down after the crucifixion into the bowels of the earth and preached to the spirits in prison. Yes, he did. He took that blood down into there and applied that blood to those who wanted to be redeemed from out of the prison house of death. People say, well, what happened? What happened to all the people, the before the cross? Are they coming onto this system? Are they able to have eternal life? Of course they are. Jesus spent that time in the bowels of the earth preaching to the spiritual souls in prison below. When he did, he preached to them and brought out all of those out of the prison house of death that wanted to follow him. Some, or not all followed him out of there. A lot of them wanted to stay with Satan in the prison house of death. But he literally brought millions and millions out of there. Millions. Brought them out and put them in the outer perimeter of the new heaven. They're waiting and learning how to serve God. Isn't that wonderful? This is what God's a secret that God gave me. Now, a lot of foolish people, and I say they're foolish, to say that just a few's going to be in heaven. Oh, how selfish that is. That's real selfish. Just to say, Jesus, just take just a few into heaven, the rest would stay through the ages of eternity and just wallow in death forever. That's not true. God created man. He created man in his own likeness. And he also sent Jesus down to die for man, but he also sent him into the prison house of death to apply the blood to those millions of souls in there that had died before Calvary. Isn't it a wonderful, what that great secret that God gave me through Jesus in heaven, what's going to happen to all the souls before the cross? Now, as the three of us entered inside of heaven, there we stood in awe and amazement, the three of us. It's always an amazing reality to look and see the inside of the heaven. And then we journeyed from there. Now follow me. We journeyed from that gate to the central part of this great planet, to the central part. Now I'm talking about a tremendous distance. This Greek mathematician, he's figured it all out for me, exactly how far it is from the outer perimeter of heaven to the center of heaven, inside heaven, where the great city of God is. You're beginning to get the picture, aren't you? Beautiful. An artist is drawing for me, as I said, drawing an artist's imaginary vision of the planet heaven and the city of God inside. Now here is the center and the city of God inside. A tremendous place, tremendous, big. And you, for miles, now try to understand in your mind how many miles it would be from the outer part of the city of God and all around it, and how far it would be to the crust or to the part of heaven that makes it a planet. And as we stood there, then we begin to journey towards the city of God. Journey. Now, this was a journey of not just inside the gate, journey of thousands of miles to the center of heaven. You begin to realize what heaven's like. And going on this journey, traveling from the inner gate to the city. And we were traveling on the second level of heaven. Now there's seven levels of heaven. And we were traveling on second level, a journey to the city of God. And as we traveled by the Spirit, not on a train, not on an airplane, not on walking, but just traveling by and through the Spirit of God, like Elijah went. Elijah went up in a chariot, and he traveled. Enoch went, and he was not, for God took him. And there is missing people from this earth since all through the Bible days, where they've missed and gone. And that Jesus went traveling up toward heaven. He appeared to 500 same, saw him 500 same time. But they saw him go. They saw him go. They saw Elijah go. And they saw others go as they left and went and left this earth and on the clouds, above the clouds, and going on a six-hour journey as I went into the interior of heaven. Now, inside of heaven, here's this great city. But you would look from the great city on the fifth heaven, the sixth heaven. As you stand on the sixth heaven, that is at the base of the throne of God, you can look in all directions to the outer part, the perimeter, outer part of heaven. The outer part, where there's millions of souls staying there until the great day of the judgment throne of God. Now, the vast distance between the city of God and the outer perimeter is almost uncomprehendable by the human mind, but it's so. So now, let's enter the great city. Now, we've already entered heaven, already inside of heaven, already on the first level, second level. Then the second level begin to travel. And in the distance, as we traveled on the second level, there we could see the great city in the distance to begin to travel. And we traveled until we then left the second level onto the third level. We begin to coming up higher, begin to come up higher in the levels of heaven. And as we got on to the third level, we came across. Now, this third level was paved with pure gold, all pure gold, with just like flower beds all around and orchards and all kinds of fruits are growing and all kinds of beauty and animals everywhere and live beings everywhere escorting one another around the third level of heaven, just like a busy place and traveling. Now, just think of the distance of the third heaven. And Apostle Paul was caught up into the third heaven. And as he was caught up there, he stood there in awe. And he was so amazed, he didn't even know whether he was in the spirit and the body, but he didn't know he went. And then you come from this level, from the third to the fourth, in the fourth heaven. And then you go on up to the fifth, sixth, and the seventh is God's home. And tomorrow on this one, I mean on the, not tomorrow, on this next tape, I'll be taking you by level until we reach the great throne of God. But still traveling on this second level and then to the third level. Here is where I met Paul, on the third level. Now, this is inhabited by all kinds of people, all kinds of souls, just the third heaven, the third level. So then in the distance, on the third level, I looked over yonder, as it were, miles away, and there was Abraham. And the Spirit of the Lord led me. Now, I'm talking now not about just down four blocks. I'm talking about from where Paul was to where Abraham was, of thousands of miles. There he was. And if now you're trying to get, you get the size of the vastness of heaven, like going from here to Minneapolis, or going from here to Tokyo, or going from here to to Africa or whatever country. It's long distance, isn't it? So you start out in the morning, you catch the airplane, and you go to this part of heaven. So when you get over there to this part of heaven where Abraham is, which I did, there's Abraham over there with a tremendous amount of souls. And you know where they were? They were all beggars. They'd been beggars upon this earth, all those that had begged bread, all those that were beggars of all things, all around rich Abraham. The man was at the rich man's gate begging. Didn't give him anything. But what happened, he went to Abraham's bosom. And where did that rich man that wouldn't give him anything, where he went, the Bible tells you. So he went into Abraham's bosom. What he did, he went over to the part that Abraham had charge of, where Abraham was. And Abraham has a mighty place. And I see he's a very rich man. He was a rich man, and he's a rich man in heaven. But not rich in dollars and cents, but he's rich in the glory of God. And there was Sarah over there, and all kinds of the inhabitants that was on the earth when Abraham was there, all the beggars and the ones begging, and they had plenty. Now this rich man was so tormented. He wanted a little water just to dip his tongue in it. He wouldn't. What a terrible thing to happen to him. But it did, the Bible tells you. When he got over there, when we got over there, the three of us, to where Abraham was, Abraham was standing, a very lovely person. And there was Sarah, just a little place way around him, neither male nor female. There they were. And here I looked and I asked Abraham the question, Abraham, how long have you been here in heaven? And he said, oh, just a day or so. And then he spoke up real quick and he said, you know, a day is 1,000 years with our God. So in other words, the time in heaven is unlimited. And Abraham stood there, and I was such a man for me to talk to as Abraham, talking to Abraham. And then after that, I also saw Moses in heaven. Moses. And many others. Friends, this tape, it's going to be from the very end, from this one, the very end. It's going to be all about heaven, all about it, about the glories of heaven. And I tell you what you could do. You can buy some more of these tapes and give them out in the hospitals, because these tapes will comfort you. Now, we'll see you next time. May God bless you. In the next half an hour, God be with you till we meet again. May God bless you, and is my prayer. Amen. On this half an hour of the last part of this tape, about the temple, which is really a great place in heaven. It's so wonderful and so real. The 15th chapter of the book of Revelation, 2nd verse. Here is John, what he saw. And John says, and I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and then that begotten a victory over the beast and over the image, and over his mark and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having harps of God. The sea of glass is a 1,500 square mile glass sea. Here they were, a wonderful gathering of these people, angels, and not only that, souls of men. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glory thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for the judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. This tabernacle in heaven is a tremendous place. 1,000 square miles of seats. And in there the throne, looking towards the throne of God, and all the tapestries and all of the wonderful works and martyrs inscribed all around the walls. And what a gorgeous place it is. 120 miles of entrances. And here's where all of the saints of God and the redeemed can worship God, can worship Him after leaving this earth. It's always been a study of scientists and astrologists and all these people to wonder if there's some place after death, or is there life after death? There certainly is life after death. The creation of God upon this earth, the human beings, are made after God's image. And, of course, we do have a soul, which is the inward man, knowing that the spiritual part of man is what keeps man in faith and going to believe there is an almighty God and eternity. And this, in this wonderful experience I had, going to heaven, by my soul going to heaven, into eternity to explore what there is up there, I prayed for almost 7 years, "Oh God, let me see Thy glory," and He did. He saw the real faith that I had. And up in heaven, there is a temple. This temple is the most gigantic, beautiful building you can imagine. Inside are all the seats, enough to seat billions of people. All you got to just think of, can you imagine, or try to think about, 1,000 square miles, wider than the state of Florida, wider than much wider than some of the states, and 1,000 miles up and 1,000 miles down, across on every way, square, 1,000 square miles of temple. Just try to imagine that, full of seats from one part to the other. It'll seat billions of people, because it's so fixed that so many can sit per square mile. Then all you have to just imagine, them all sitting together in seats in the throne. It's a gigantic place, because God is making it big enough for all the redeemed souls of the world to be in there to worship Him in the beauty of holiness. Now, the temple sits right next to the city four square, looking towards the throne of God. Now, also, the city four square, you can look towards the throne of God, which is in the center of heaven, which is the city. Outside of the city in heaven, there are millions of square miles. I say millions because the earth is 2 million miles around it. Can you imagine the amount of space inside? Here is this beautiful temple rising up high above all of the other part of heaven except the city four square and the throne of God. Now, the city four square is 1,500 miles high. The throne of God is over 2,000 miles high. And the wonderful temple, 1,000 miles high. So then, God building heaven in the thousands. Then you've got the needle house. Beside the needle house, you've got the two altars, the brazen, the golden altars. Then you've got the banquet house. And then you've got the windows of heaven, which is all there together. And then also the arm is being trained to conquer the devil. And you try to imagine all this great temple full of souls worshiping God. And it's built in such a way that you can see the throne of God. There are aisles in there. Now, when you come to think of it, to walk in the temple, can you try to think of the length of 1,000 miles on this earth? So then from the gates to the place in the front where you look upon the throne is 1,000 miles. So then how do you travel in there? You have to travel inside. You move in there by the Spirit of God. It's not just a matter of going into a great building like it is here, for instance, some of the larger auditoriums. When you get in this vast area, seating capacity and the beauty of it, and it's not that you have to labor to get up to your seat. You walk through and by the Spirit, because you're a spiritual being in heaven. Therefore, you travel in the Spirit, you move in the Spirit, and you go and enjoy yourself in the temple as much as you'd like to. Now, You could stay in there 1,000 years if you want to, because the days are 1,000 years with the Lord, because you've got millions and millions of years to live there in heaven. So then you're going to stay in the temple for 1,000 years if you want to, and it'll seem like one day, because eternity has no time, because there is no time in eternity. It's forever and ever. And it was wonderful to be inside the temple and hear the beautiful singing of the angels. And there also to look at the martyrs. You can look at the throne. The martyrs under the throne, as they come out from under the throne every day to pray before God and be recognized by God because they gave their life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now the temple has services in there 24 hours a day. So therefore, you can go to church anytime. You don't have to wait till the preacher opens the door until the music starts up. It's continuous music, continuous worship, continuous glory, and continuous of the praising of the Lord. In the temple, I saw my two grandfathers in there worshiping God. Then also the other parts of my family had gone to heaven in there worshiping God, and very satisfied to stay in the worship. On this earth, sometimes I'm preaching to people there, and they start fidgeting around toward the end, look at their watch, give me signs about time they want to go home that time. It's not so in heaven, because there is no time. So why would they want, where were they going? They're still at where they wouldn't be going anywhere, because they're in the place of eternity. So they're no hurry, no hurry at all. I'm timing this tape by a clock. But there's no such thing as time in heaven, because it's continuous from never and ever. And then there's no time in music, like you have in the bands here, all the different bands and the music and in church. It all goes by time. So then they have to make a time, beat the drums, and call it time. Keep in time, they say, and have the right key. That's not necessary in heaven. You don't have to have drums in heaven. It's a continuous worship and beautiful music going on there, so precious. And the organs in the temple. Now, you try to think of an organ on this earth, a pipe organ here. How would you like to have one with pipe organs on it, with the pipes 200 miles high? Can you imagine a 200-mile organ high, and with all of the beautiful keys, big keyboards, and 500 or 600 angels in heaven playing that organ? That's how vast and how big heaven is. It's gigantic, not just a little place. Then can you think of the little children? Now, there's 10,000 square miles of playground for the children. The children can even come to the temple and listen, and what you hear in there, instead of a person preaching, you're redeemed. You sit in there and hear the voice of God, the wisdom of the voice of God in the temple, and listen to His great command, to His great wisdom, to His great power of what is eternity. And His wisdom of God comes into you, therefore you partake of the wisdom of God in heaven. Now, in order to have the wisdom of God in heaven, you have to partake in that wisdom. The left hand of God is like a fan, just like a wing of a bird, or the wing of a hen, or the wing of a fowl. And Jesus looked over Jerusalem, and here's what He said: O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killeth the prophets, how oft would I gather thee, that hen or does her brood, you would not. So the left hand of God is like the wing of a hen, only a silken feather, so beautiful. And Jesus took me under the left hand of God to sit down and have the love saturate over my whole soul. So I sat on the love seat. I sat on the seat of wisdom. I sat on the seat of knowledge, the seat of long-suffering, the seat of administration, and all the different seats of knowledge and wisdom, in order to be able to take this message around the world. Now let us look at the nations. You've got a vast number of people in India and China and Africa and all over the whole Europe and the world. Australia, New Zealand, China. Just think of the vast number of people. Now this is the time of the coming in of the ones who want to serve God. This is the end times. This is the time of the movement of the Lord, the time of the world to be redeemed. Now just think in your own mind how beautiful it will be to see thousands of Chinese in there, thousands of Africans, thousands of Aboriginal Indians, thousands of Europeans, thousands of all these different races, creeds, I mean races and colors of the world, all in there together, worshiping together. And it'll be so beautiful because they'll be all singing the song of Moses, and they'll be singing the song of the redeemed. They'll be worshiping God and worshiping the Lamb of God. Everybody will be in there worshiping the Lamb and worshiping God. So you'll have something to worship, but the thing is, you'll not get hungry, but you can eat if you want to. You can eat the fruit of the vine, you can eat also the manna in heaven, all these things you can eat it. And because it's so that angels eat, your soul eats, because they entertained Abraham. Abraham entertained angels and gave them even venison. There's a proof that you do partake in substance in heaven, but you don't need plumbing, laboratories, and all this kind of thing, because there is no decay in heaven. There's no decay of food. There's nothing like that. In other words, it's a continuous life of reality. That's the beauty of heaven. And I know there's many that's looking forward to spending time in eternity. It's awful to think when this life is over, you just go into a complete oblivion, not remember anything anymore. That's not so. Because if you look into heaven, I have some great experiences. When I'm speaking and preaching, the spirit world comes before me. Faces come before me. Angels come before me from out of eternity and come before me and appear before me. So it's a beautiful sight. And the Bible clearly teaches that your old man will dream dreams. Now, this is not a dream. This is what I call a vision of life beyond the grave. When I was in the last place I was speaking, I was praying for people, and as I was praying for people, heaven came down in the midst of us, and we enjoyed the visitation of angels and souls. Now, we enjoy such a reality is wonderful. This builds faith, and there is eternal life after death. Now, when we think of the vast congregation that will be in there, all singing the song of the redeemed at the same time, it'll ring out so beautiful all through the heavens. And what happens, my friends, is when souls get saved, as I told you before, souls get saved and bells ring over the throne of God, and they enter into the glories of God forever. I want you to try to visualize in your mind how the city of God is laid out. Now, there is a vast territory of heaven, 2 million miles around it, which makes it a long way across it. There's mountains of gold and rivers, and the beautiful flowers growing, and there's the gardens and the wonderful diamonds everywhere. There's also all kinds of precious stones, and the buildings are built out of precious stones. Now, the throne is a fire, a consuming fire. God is a consuming fire. Now, try to think of a throne up there, sitting in the middle of this beautiful city. It's a beautiful city. We got cities on this earth. We got New York, Empire State Building, and all these kind of buildings, and we also got buildings in many different countries of the world, and the beautiful, they call it beautiful. But now, instead of, for instance, going through and coming to the horizon, seeing St. Louis in front of you, the high buildings, or New York, or Chicago, or Atlanta, or any of these places, when you come near the city, you can see these buildings rising up over the hills as you drive toward the city. Now, as you different places coming into San Francisco by sea, you can see the cities and the buildings rising up above. And even coming to Tulsa, coming to these different places, Fort Worth and Dallas, these cities rise up above the hills and the valleys and above the land. So you can see them in the future, especially in the west where it's so clear. Coming to different towns in Wyoming, you can see them as they are down in the valley. And God is blessing in a wonderful way. Friends, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there'll be a spectacular reality for you when you go to heaven. So just think of all of this great, vast territory. Suppose you're out on one of these great mountains in heaven, or over towards the Sea of Glass, or the Crystal Sea, or all these places. And then you can see this beautiful city in the distance, larger, greater, more brighter, and more beautiful than any city upon this earth. You could look in the distance. As we traveled inside of heaven, coming in, there beyond the gates was the beautiful city. Now, as you think of it in your mind, you realize there's the throne of God protruding up there very high above everything, above all the buildings of the city of heaven, the city of God. And you can see it in the distance, lit up bright, brighter than the noonday sun, brighter than anything. When Paul was on his way to Damascus, it was the noonday sun was bright. But yet Jesus opened up heaven's door, and it was brighter than the noonday sun. That's the way heaven is. It's real bright and lit up real beautiful. So you're looking now, I'm trying to get your mind to look toward the city of God from another part of heaven. And as you can look to that vast city, this great, big, high throne of God, then you can see the temple right next to it. You can see the city four square protruding up. 1,500 miles, for God's throne is way above that. Now you can see the banquet house sitting there in front of the throne of God. Now you can also see the place where they make the wedding garments. You can also see these beautiful reality of heaven. All these buildings knit beautifully, woven together in a perfect architecture of planning. And it's the most beautiful reality a person could ever look at. And the streets, all paved in gold. Then you could look from a distance, see the river of life flowing out from the throne of God, flowing out to the floodgates, miles long, full of the Spirit of God like a river, and flooding towards the floodgates. And the floodgates are being pressured open. When it does, the Spirit of God will come flowing down on this earth, which will cause one of the greatest upset in all the history of the earth. And that it will be, after this is over, it will be really an end. Now there will be blessings poured out of heaven, out of this city of God, and the windows. There are the windows, the vast, great, big windows over that way, where the blessings are poured out. Now, these blessings are for now before the resurrection. These blessings are poured out now. Now, the tithing blessing is for a yearly blessing. Every year, an accounting of your tithes toward God is accounted for. Now, the other blessings, such as the love offering, and the heave offering, I'm talking about the heave offering, that goes for spreading the gospel to the four corners of the earth. They are lasting blessings. These ones will last forever and ever and ever. But the tithe offering will stop. Then after the rapture, there'll be no more blessings. They're not depending of any kind of blessings whatsoever. It'll be all over then. You'll never be able to make another dime after that. not another dime. It'll be dark. There'll be no more banks, no more commerce of any kind. But it'll be just tribulation. We've gone through minor tribulations, but this will be great tribulation of the earth. After the rapture, men and women will be crying for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. They'll be seeking death and will not find it. In other words, their life will continue so long until the earth is burned up by fire, and that'll be all over there. And it won't be. I don't want to be around here at that time to go through such a tribulation period where everything is bad and no good at all. Nothing will grow. Not a thing will grow. You won't be, but I would have no communication at all, stopped, no way of running a radio station, no way of running a television, because there'll be no more electric. There'll be no way of running. It'll all stop. There'll be no more power. There'll be nothing to operate. It'll be a dead, dark place here. People just going around, trying to find their way around by what little light they have. That'll be the tribulation. But the saints of God and the church will be gone. And God's redeemed will be enjoying themselves in the temple. It'll be wonderful up there. And no crops will grow, so you gradually run out of food, and they'll be start eating one another, and it'll be a horrible place to be. I don't want to be here during that time, because it'll be nothing but chaos and problems and trouble. It'll be all over, because there'll be no more blessings, because the windows of heaven will be shut up, and there'll be nothing else, no more Spirit of God, and the devil will take complete charge. I tell you, for a pie, and then he'll be thrown in the bottomless pit. But then the people themselves will have no love, no joy. It will just be a chaotic mess during tribulation. Of course, there'll be a country will run somehow, but it'll run in a horrible way, just like it did through the days when there was absolutely no reason whatsoever. There'll be no more law, nothing like that'll be all over. But the redeemed will be in heaven enjoying themselves. So it's very good to get in the redeemed. It's very good to join the glorious redeemed people who've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Now I can testify to this, that heaven's real. Testify. When a person receives Jesus as their Savior, and this is the absolute ticket to heaven, to be washed in His blood, to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, this is what it's all about, because God sent His only begotten Son to die upon the cross of Calvary, that we might have a part in this beautiful heaven. Then when you try to think of these beautiful streets of gold, how beautiful they are, but there's one most spectacular thing in heaven, is the mansions. Now, the city four square is 1,500 cubic miles high. Now, the mansions reach up a whole level of heaven. Now, there's seven levels of heaven, starting from the outer part clear through to the seventh heaven where God is. But these beautiful, beautiful mansions before the throne of God, there's three sets of them back from the throne of God. Each, the back, the front one is a little lower, and the second one is a little higher, and the third one is a little higher than that. And underneath that's the banquet house. The banquet house fits right underneath it. So if you want to go out of your mansion and go down and eat, all you got to do is step out of your mansion and go down and get your fruit on the table. And every one of these mansions look towards the throne of God, and they're occupied by the souls of men and women. These mansions are occupied and being built for the sole purpose for you to go in with the converts you've won, with the souls that you've won, to go in there and worship God with them. In other words, you will entertain the ones that you won to Jesus. And traveling around the world in different places, when you win a soul, when 12 or 15 or 20 or 100 or 400 come and kneel before God and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. This is a wonderful reality, because this is what happens. Then they have the joy, and then when the joy comes into their life, they begin to be filled with the Spirit of God and receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And this prepares you to go there and occupy your mansion. Now, here's what the mansions are for. If you win 1,000 souls, then you've got to have a mansion big enough to entertain 1,000 souls in heaven. You're beginning to realize the giganticness of heaven. Now, they got a lot of churches that hold 1,000 people, but you're going to have all these different mansions. If a man's old 10,000 souls, then he has to have one whole 10,000 people, because he's going to enter them in there anytime he wants, and they'll come and talk to the one that led them to Jesus. What a wonderful time that'll be, because he will occupy his place before the Lord, because he'll occupy his place before the throne, because he won these souls to Jesus, because he went to the four corners of the earth. And I know what I'm going to have in my mansion. Oh, I'm going to have about all nationalities of the world in there, because I win souls out of every nation. Isn't it wonderful to sit in there and find the Indians, the Aborigines Indians, the African blacks, and the French and the Germans, which I won to the Lord, all in there enjoying a time of the Lord in my own mansion. But we're going to partake food together. Now, in there, we're going to eat of the fruit of the vine, and we'll have fellowship together and worship God together and talk over the wonderful things of heaven. You're going to be in a place of entertainment in there. I was in New York, and they went out and got a caterer, a Mexican gentleman who was a caterer in New York, and brought the most fantastic meal and set it on the table before us, hors d'oeuvres and just about everything there for us to eat, because we had a wonderful fellowship together. It's the same way in heaven. The souls you won, you'll collect back together to have fellowship.